Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. I noticed that Dove is pointing out that Cheryl Valentine is going to be here in 1 hour for Pockets of Unworthiness. She's going to talk about unworthiness. I talked to her about this earlier this week. She's really excited about this teaching. So it'll be our dinner time here. I'll be running upstairs to cook dinner. But I'm going to record it and listen to it later. So, again, happy Sunday evening. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides. Hello, Wayne. And that's the time of the week that is dedicated to going through all of the messages in chronological order on ReginaDawnAkers.com. And tonight, the first message that we're going to look at is called Rest into Surrender. And what I'm going to do is give you all a link. This message is from December 2006. I think we're going to finish December 2006 tonight, and depending on how things go, we might even celebrate the new year and start January 2007. So that'll be fun. What I would like to do before we get started is say a prayer. So if you all would join me, that would be wonderful. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for your guidance, as always. And I want to ask for reminders to practice. Last night we talked about the importance of practice to awakening. And Holy Spirit, I know at least I am very willing to practice. If the mind is distracted, I forget. So, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to just whisper into the mind a reminder to return to practice, and I always will. I want to thank you for your guidance, your helping hand, and I ask you to speak into my heart tonight, so that I may hear truly whatever is most helpful to me right now. And the prayer that I pray for myself, I pray as well for all of my brothers and sisters as much as they are willing. Amen. All right. So as I mentioned, we're going to read the message, Rest into Surrender. And I've given you the link. Okay, so what I'm going to do, it looks like I didn't ask a question or anything. It looks like this is probably one of those times when Spirit just asked me to grab my notebook, and then Spirit had something to share with me. So I'm just going to read the message, and we'll see what it is. Here we go. Rest into surrender, which is the true desire of your heart. The heart asks you to surrender. When you answer it, you feel that you are answering yourself. By surrendering to the heart, surrendering to what is and to what will be, you get below the thinking mind. You step into a state where the thinking mind cannot follow, because you step away from the state of duality, possibilities and problems, into a flow of oneness, certainty of purpose, and constant well-being. From the place of surrender, you only are. From the place of purely being, the thinking mind cannot do, and so it cannot lead. This is why surrender is the path of relinquishing the ego. In full surrender, the ego isn't. It is nowhere, because there is no state in which it can seem to be. Full surrender is a moment-to-moment remembering that is brought about through trust. It is not relying on the little self, because the guidance of the whole is trusted more. It is not wanting the interests of little self, because the interests of the whole are more wholly desired. It is recognizing that fragmented perception is not truth, so it is willing to surrender anything the fragment may perceive for the guidance of wholeness. Full surrender is letting go of the ego. This is what you truly want. Surrender the mind by going deep within the heart. Recognize the self that you are with gladness. Find yourself through surrender. Meet up as one, where one is all that is. You find your strength in surrender, because wholeness is the only strength there is. Last night we talked about a little bit about preferences. And one thing we talked about is that as long as we still have personal preferences, they can block our guidance. The example we were using last night was the example of working. You know, whether I have a preference, I want to work, or whether I have a preference, I don't want to work, or I may have a preference, I want to do this type of job, or I may have a preference that says I'll do anything but that. it doesn't really matter, but if we have these preferences, what we're really doing is we're still putting the little self above the whole. So it's not total surrender. We can also have preferences about relationship, whether I'm in relationship or not in relationship. You know, I want to be a couple or I don't want to be a couple. I want to be single and independent. There's a whole host of preferences. I'm not really talking about preferences of ice cream here. I don't know that preference in ice cream is that big of a deal. But there are types of preferences that hold up the little I as very important. You know, it kind of says, if you take this from me, you're attacking me. You know, if you take this from me, you're attacking me. If you don't let me be in a couple, or if you don't let me have friends, or if you make me work, you're taking something from me. And if you really look at these thoughts, and I don't mean this with judgment, what I'm about to say, I just want to bring a lot of clarity to it. If you really look at these types of thoughts, what you'll see is that they're selfish. And what I mean by selfish is it's thinking about me, right? It's not thinking about the whole. Do you see the difference? So what Spirit is saying in this message is that true surrender is that letting go of that me perception and that letting go of those me preferences and what I need, what I want, you know. A true surrender is wanting for the whole. You know, look at this paragraph, the third one from the bottom. It says, full surrender is a moment-to-moment remembering that is brought about through trust. It is not relying on the little self, because the guidance of the whole is trusted more. It is not wanting the interests of the little self, because the interests of the whole are more wholly desired. Right now I'm kind of remembering something that Eckhart Tolle said. I believe it was in his very first show with Oprah, the very first one they did. Remember they did those webinar things that millions of people showed up for? I think it was in the very first one. He explained what I believe he called the difference between New Age and true spirituality. New Age, he said, was deciding what I want and then attempting to attract it. You know, so I might decide I would be really happy in a couple relationship, and I may even decide exactly what kind of man would make me really happy. And then I attempt to use visioning and that type of stuff to attract that. He said true spirituality is when you speak to the universe and you say, what do you want from me? That's really what Spirit is saying in this message here. And remembered also, I'm reminded also of John the Baptist in the Bible, in the book of John. When Jesus showed up, you know, John had been, at that time, as far as we know from the records we have, he had been the great teacher outside of, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was the great teacher. But when Jesus showed up, John said, it is time now for me to become less so he can become more. And that's a real symbol to me for what we are to do. It is time for the me to become less so that the Spirit can become more. So that's really the gist of that message. I mean, that's all there is to talk about, but it's certainly something to think about. It's you know, it's something to think about. Am I really ready to put down what I think I want? You know, these preferences. Again, not necessarily ice cream. I'm not sure that having a preference in ice cream is a big problem, unless, of course, you throw a fit when you can't get your kind of ice cream, then you might want to look at that. But if you're allowed, if you can just say, oh, well, they don't have, you know, what I like, I'll have something else instead, or I'll have nothing else. Preferences and ice cream are probably okay. But the preferences that really cling to the idea of me, what I want, what I need, who I am, those are the types of preferences we want to let go of. Teddy says he just happens to be having ice cream right now. Okay, so, all right. So what I'm going to do then, I guess, is just go on to the next message. If you are in rest into surrender with me, I see a few people, one person maybe has entered the room. If you're in rest into surrender with me, if you look up at the top of the page, you'll see where it, to the right, it just says, be only the light. You can just click on that, and that will take you to the next message. It's a teeny tiny message, so we'll see what it is. And if you weren't in with me and you wanted the link, here's the link to our next message, Be Only the Light. Absence of chocolate, Teddy says. It's what some people call vanilla. Absence of chocolate. All right. So here, I did have a question on this particular day. Oh, but it's a very, very generic question. I just said, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And so here's the answer that I was given. Be aware of the light. Be silent and be aware of the light. Nothing else is needed right now. Put your full focus on the light that is being birthed within you. Let it birth itself into full and complete beingness within. Let it shine away anything that is not of it. Be only the light, and only the light shall be known. Now, this is a little message, but this was not a little day for me. I remember, as I started reading the message, I remember the day very clearly. this was the day that something happened inside of me that I didn't, at the time, have words to explain. In fact, I even made a post where I just said, what is happening to me? And I described how I was feeling. But for the first time ever, I became aware of a feeling inside. It was different than anything I'd ever felt before. It was peace. I mean, real peace. Not what I would have called peace before, which peace would have been. Okay, you know how Teddy said a second ago that vanilla is the absence of chocolate? Remember? Thank you, Teddy, for that prompt. Before this day, peace for me was the absence of conflict, right? But this on this day, something in me awoke into my awareness that was different. It was something that lives always, something that, I don't know how to call it. I don't know what to call it. But I felt it, and I felt it in my heart. It went across my chest, underneath my armpits. It went up through my throat, into my mouth, and it was magnificent. It was magnificent. When I made the post where I said, what is happening to me, and I described what I was feeling, one friend called me up, and he said, your heart chakra has opened. And that might be pretty good language for what happened. That might be, you know, that's just a symbol, of course, but that might be pretty good language for what happened, because ever since then it has remained that way. What I can do, and I know that some of you can do it too, but I also know that some people aren't yet aware of what I'm talking about when I describe this. What I can do whenever I want to is I can be still for a moment, and I can focus on my heart, and I'm aware of this total peace. It has nothing to do with absence of conflict. There can be conflict going on all around me. You know, somebody can be in my presence and completely upset with me. And yet I can still be aware of this peace. And I can allow it to be the center of my attention. So it is as if my heart chakra opened that day, and I now have access to something that before I was not aware I had access to. So after my heart chakra opened and I became aware of this peace that lives within, this peace that I can access whenever I want, and then this is the message that Spirit gave me, right? Be aware of the light. That's what this was called, the light. Be silent. Stop thinking. And be aware of the light. And I can do that. This is how, you know, sometimes people ask me, well, how can you just still the mind? You know, I've had people tell me you can't still the mind. The mind is always thinking. Well, I do have that experience sometimes. But I have to be honest, I also have the experience sometimes where the mind is not thinking. And when you ask, how do you do that? It's when I'm fully focused on this inner light. When all of my attention is on the light, the thinking mind is still. I think it's a natural reaction to be honest. I think it's a natural reaction. It's not like I made the thinking stop. I just turned my attention to the heart, and the thinking does stop in its presence. But again, that wasn't something I could do before this day, because I wasn't aware of this light, this open heart chakra, or whatever you want to call it. So Holy Spirit is saying, be aware of the light. Be silent and be aware of the light. And then he says, nothing else is needed right now. Put your full focus on the light that is being birthed within you. Let it birth itself into full and complete beingness within. Let it shine away anything that is not of it. Be only the light, and only the light shall be known. And this has probably been one of my primary practices since then. And I continue to practice, which of course means I am not a master. We talked about that last night as well. But this is a part of what, like, the mantra is for. The mantra is to take my attention off of whatever the thinking mind was rambling about a second ago, and to give it at least a few moments of silence with just this inner light. Spirit has asked me to try and spend, and I have to be honest, I haven't been good at it lately. Spirit has asked me to try to spend 10 minutes an hour just being in this stillness. And I was doing well until I went to San Diego, and then I think I turned my attention to whoever I was with and whatever we were doing, and I haven't been taking that 10 minutes. So I'd like to get back to that. Because what I am aware of, although it's wonderful to be with the people I'm with and doing the things I'm with, what I'm aware of is when I'm not taking that 10 minutes, I'm really putting a little too much emphasis on the world, to be honest, and not enough emphasis on just this inner light. So, there we go. That's the guidance. Focus on the light. Very short message, but like I said, it was a very important day for me. The next thing is something I wrote called My Commitment. And I don't know if I don't feel like reading that now, I guess. I'm going to move on to A Shift is Occurring Within My Mind. Still me writing. This is probably all experiences, things I was working through myself. You may remember December of 2006 was actually kind of important for me because two things happened. One was I received that calling that we went over a few weeks ago. I received that calling to surrender. I told you guys about the experience I had where I experienced myself as someone else, and I received that person's calling. And then I experienced myself as no one and was guided to read Regina's calling. And then I chose to accept both callings, but to realize that identity was unimportant. And then, within the same month, I had this experience of the heart chakra opening. So there was a lot going on for me at this particular time, and I'm sure that's why I did all of this writing. But what I'm going to do is move on to the next message from Spirit, which is called Stay Focused with the Focus. So you can just click forward until you see that. It'll be a couple of clicks. Or you can use this particular link right here. There you go, Clara. This is the link to the next message. Stay focused with the focus. And again, this particular message is pretty short. And it starts with, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And here's the answer. Focus is central to your theme now. Focus on the heart. Focus on the center. Focus on purpose. Focus on who you are. This focus can be called remembrance. It is the purpose for everything that is going on around you now. There is nothing that is happening around you or within you that does not have this purpose. This singular purpose is focus. Stay focused with the focus. And you are the purpose. So before we go on to the next paragraph, one thing that is pretty important, and I don't really think it's just to me, although this message is what I call a personal message, but notice it says, to stay focused on the focus, right? And it says, it is the purpose for everything that is going on around you now. This is what we really call Holy Spirit reinterpreting what ego made. And that's what the Course says Holy Spirit does. The Course says that Holy Spirit reinterprets everything the ego made. From the ego perspective, the purpose of everything that is going on around me now is to distract me from who I really am. It's to get me to believe otherwise, to believe that I am a person, a victim to the world, lacking, mortal. That's the purpose of the world for the ego. And so, if someone was to tell you, the purpose of this is to distract you, on the one hand, that is true. But Spirit reinterprets that. And Spirit says the purpose of that is to help you focus on your center, focus on that open heart chakra, focus on stillness, remember your purpose. And the funny thing is that doesn't matter what's in my life. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a hectic job, a difficult romance, screaming children, no job. All these things that the ego would throw into my life to distract me, the Spirit says they're all there to help us learn to focus. That's a pretty nice practice, actually. I do enjoy that practice. I enjoy the practice of when my mind is distracted and I forget for a moment. I enjoy when the remembrance comes back in my mind, taking at least a moment to be still, to say my mantra, to remember my purpose, and to do that no matter what is going on, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. And I also really enjoy not believing that my situation can distract me. that it has any kind of power over me. I really enjoy the challenge of being centered no matter what, that practice. And that's what Spirit is talking about in this particular message. If we go on to the next paragraph, he says, that which is around you and about you seems different in its reference and expression and degree. Yet nothing is different when it all balances and comes forth through the same purpose or focus. So I think we're all aware of this, you know, like some things may seem like a little annoyance, you know, like you're in a hurry, you're about to run out the door and you drop a can of pickles and break it all over the floor. You know, that's an annoyance. I was in a hurry and now I have to clean up these pickles and this pickle juice all over the house. And then other things may seem really, really big, you know, like not having money, having your spouse leave you, an illness, right? Whether it's your illness or an illness for someone else that's very close to you. But what Spirit is telling us is that that which is around us and about us is not different in reference, expression, or degree. And it all has the same purpose. The same purpose is to help us be focused, to not be shaken up by different situations, but to maintain that focus always, to be a master. That's really what it's there to help us do, to be a master at maintaining focus or at listening to only one voice. You know, just as an example, you know, we all, I think, have an idea of what a master piano player is. And we know that you cannot become a master piano player if all you ever do is practice chopsticks. You know, even if you practice 3 hours a day, if the only song you ever play is chopsticks, you're never going to be a master piano player. You know, at some point you have to go beyond chopsticks. Well, at first, it may be really helpful to practice staying centered as I'm running at the door and I drop the jar of pickles. But if I want to be the master, it's also helpful to use my spouse leaving me as an opportunity to learn to stay focused. Losing a job as an opportunity to learn to stay focused on the center, on the thought of God, on the peace, on the open heart chakra, right? To use illness. In fact, we had a message about that last week. Last week was the message we had where a person had cancer and they asked me to ask Spirit for a message for them. And Spirit was asking this person to use the cancer to learn to let go of fear and to stay in peace. You see how Spirit did not say, oh, cancer, now that's bad. Okay, now that's bad. Right? For Spirit, the response is always the same. Everything has the same purpose. And the real question, I guess, that we can ask ourselves is, do I want to become the master? Do I want to become the master of being at peace always? And then if so, why would I be upset when Holy Spirit gives me a more difficult peace to practice on? And by peace, of course, I'm using the music analogy again, right? I have to go beyond chopsticks. I once said, and I still mean this, that I want such firm peace within me, such unshakable peace as my only focus, my only attention, my only awareness, that I could walk through a war zone and not be upset. I may feel perfectly guided. I may know what to say to whom and what to do, where to wrap a bandage, right? How to help people out of a burning building, but at peace, right? Not losing my peace. And that's what our life is for, whatever the heck our life is. I'm reminded now of John Sherman. Some of you guys may know John Sherman. He is a spiritual teacher. And I guess he was, you know, in the language of the world, he was a bad guy once. And he was in prison. I don't know what he did, but if we divide the world into good guys and bad guys, he was a bad guy. I don't know what he did, but he was in prison. And what he ended up using his prison sentence for, he was a bank robber. Okay, thank you. He was a bank robber. Yeah, so he was a, you know, that's the kind of bad guys that we write books about, right? You know, the bank robbers. So he was a bad guy, and he was put in prison, and he ended up at some point choosing to use his time in prison to awaken. That became his focus. Yeah, you're kind of guy, Joe. I thought of you when I said he was a bad guy. Joe used to be a bad guy, too. So he chose to use his time in prison to awaken. And I saw him in an interview once, and this guy was asking about, you know, isn't it hard when you're in prison, when you're in that environment, you know, to maintain that type of focus to awaken? And John Sherman answered him by saying, my life was perfect for me to awaken. And then he looked at the interviewer and he said, and your life is perfect for you. And I think that's a really important point that maybe all of us would do well to remember. You know, the ego always wants to tell us that it's easier for somebody else, right? It's easier for Regina to awaken, you know, out there in Pueblo, surrounded by all of these people, these like-minded people who come there to focus only on that. But what John Sherman said is that your life is perfect for you to awaken. Remember, you want to become the master. The master pianist. The master with the focus. You don't want to only be able to maintain your peace when you're in Pueblo. You want to be able to maintain your peace always. And you can trust spirit to guide you. And sometimes we are guided from one place to another. That's clearly happened to me. But I'll tell you how it started. It started when I had a job that, for me, I thought was pretty stressful. I went from one meeting to another, back-to-back meetings, you know, without even the opportunity to pee. That was always my complaint. I don't even get to pee at work. And all people did in these meetings was argue, you know, and this was my day. This was my job. I went from official argument to official argument all day long, and you know, it was really fun, yeah. And I remember I would sit at home in the morning because I was a new course student, and I would do my course lesson. I'd do my text reading. I would feel so great, right? And then I'd walk into work, and it was like I walked from a color movie to a black and white movie. I know some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And there was no way I could maintain my peace at work. I mean, that was just impossible. I could only do it at home, on the love seat with A Course in Miracles in my lap, right? I couldn't do it at work. And I really thought, I need to leave this job in order to awaken, right? This job is in my way. This job is the obstacle. And I even had a plan. Some of you guys know this. I had a plan. Ron and I were going to get married. We were going to move to Colorado. And I was going to use the money I had to pay cash for a house that was going to be my financial contribution to the family. And then I was not going to have to work. And my plan was I would spend all the time studying A Course in Miracles and awaken. And some of you guys also know what happened is that as it neared the time for this to happen, Ron got what we call cold feet. And he didn't want to get married. And he didn't want me to go to Colorado with him. And at first, what the ego said to me is that everything I wanted was being taken away, right? It was all being taken away. But that particular day, my Course in Miracles lesson was, forgiveness offers me everything I want. Is that the exact words? Something like that, right? Some of you may know. Forgiveness offers me everything I want. And so what I decided to do was to use this situation. It seemed like the world was crashing down on me, but I decided to use this situation to learn what the heck forgiveness was. And what I discovered was that the real obstacle in my mind wasn't the fact that the situation was unfolding the way it was. The real obstacle in my mind were all of the crazy thoughts I allowed in my mind thinking about it. In fact, I remember one day Jasmine and I went to Nara Park in Acton, Massachusetts, and we were just throwing rocks into the lake, and, you know, she's giggling and having fun. You know, the big rocks make one kind of plop sound, and the little rocks make another kind of sound, and she was having so much fun. I'm standing there by her mechanically throwing rocks, but my mind is all caught up in this craziness. And listen to the craziness. You'll hear how crazy it is. On the one hand, I'm thinking about how can I talk Ron into marrying me? You know, because I really got to have this. How can I convince him to make this, to change his mind, to go ahead and marry me so I can quit my job and I can move to Colorado, right? And then on the other hand, I'm worrying about what if he changes his mind? You know, how am I going to work out the timing? You know, my big fear then was I only wanted Jasmine to move in the summer or at Christmas. I thought that it would be too stressful for her to move during the school year. And how am I going to work out all the timing? And, you know, my mind was just crazy. It was crazy on both sides of the argument. It was nothing but crazy. And all of a sudden it hit me. That was the problem. The thoughts in the mind. Remember when Ron said that he did not want to get married, or when he began to hint that he didn't want to get married, he didn't actually tell me straight out yet. He was just beginning to make those hints. When Ron began to hint that he did not want to get married, the ego told me the world was crashing down on me. Everything I wanted was being taken away. But I made a decision to use the situation to learn what forgiveness is, because I didn't know yet. And I did. I learned what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is letting go of thoughts. Well, after that happened, I actually ended up helping Ron tell me he didn't want to get married, and I let him go to Colorado, and I chose at that point to remain his girlfriend, to not see that as a reason for a breakup. And in fact, I went and bought plane tickets to come out and visit him. I told him it was okay, I would still love him, he didn't have to marry me. Right? And that's how we stayed together at that particular point. And I was pretty happy, actually, because what also happened is I felt like Holy Spirit had a plan for me, and that I didn't know what it was yet, but that it wasn't my plan, and that that plan would unfold. I was pretty happy to have made myself available for whatever the plan was going to be. But as I got back into work, you know, as I walked back into that place where the world turns black and white and gray and everybody's yelling at each other and I don't have time to pee, that same old frustration came over me again, like, this job is in my way. And so one day I was walking through the halls at work and I just said, Holy Spirit, why do I have to stay here? And what came into my mind was a song. And the song was the answer to my question. The song said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And I knew then that my job was my current schoolhouse, that I wasn't to create some peaceful situation and be at peace, that I was to learn to be at peace right in the middle of the battle. And so I made another decision. Remember when Ron decided he didn't want to get married? I decided to use it to learn forgiveness. Well, when Holy Spirit showed me that my job was my schoolhouse, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, I decided to learn peace at work. And I didn't do anything that we don't, you know, talk about here every night. I learned to let go of my thoughts. I learned to let go of my grievances. In fact, shortly after that, I sat in a meeting. We had about 41 directors and senior staff in the entire company. And once a month, we would all come together for what was called a leadership meeting. And I sat in that meeting. I'd worked at this company for 9 years. And I sat at that meeting, and I looked around the table at the other 40 people there. And I realized there might have been one or two people around that table that I liked. For the most part, I didn't like any of them because of the battles we'd fought, right? I had, like, grievances stacked up the kazoo. And I realized I did have some work to do. And so I set out with Holy Spirit's help to let go of all of those grievances and all of those judgments. One thing I did is I started every week scheduling lunch with somebody that I hated. I mean, I started with the people I hated the most. And at first I was terrified to do that because I knew they hated me too, and I thought they'd say no. But you know what? Most of them said yes. And we started going to lunch. And I kept watching my mind and watching my judgments and letting go of grievances and doing the Course in Miracles workbook and reading the text. And it was only about 3 or 4 months into it when people began to say things to me. You know, like I remember this one woman came up to me and she said, "You know, Regina, I used to not like you. But, you know, you're really okay." And people started coming up to me and saying, "Regina, why are you so happy?" I guess I started smiling more, right? I was glowing a little bit. "Why are you so happy? Regina, what are you doing?" And then what began to happen is these same people, right, my peers, began to schedule private meetings with me in my office so that they could ask me what I was doing to be so happy. And I gave them honest answers. I told them about A Course in Miracles. I told them about Peace Pilgrim, who was also a big influence on me. I began to teach them about how I was watching the mind. I began to teach them about, you know, unworthiness and letting go of unworthiness. What began to happen is that when I would walk into work, the sun kept shining. I mean, I was still in all the same meetings, right? I still had back-to-back meetings and all of that, but it was different. It was just different because I was different. And again, people began to smile back at me. And so maybe in some ways it wasn't the same meetings anymore. It did change, right? But it changed because I changed. And then you know what happened? Then I received guidance from Holy Spirit to quit my job and move. But you know, that guidance didn't come until I was at peace and happy. In fact, when I left, they threw a going away party for me and everybody came. And, you know, I cried the sentimental, "Oh, I don't want to leave you guys. I love you so much," crying. But these were the same people I hated a year ago. So this is what Spirit is saying in this message. He's telling us there is nothing that is happening around us or even within us that does not have the purpose, the singular purpose, of maintaining our happiness no matter what. It's to help us become the master, to go beyond chopsticks, right? To always be the presence of love and not have it be dependent on a specific circumstance going a certain way, right? Joy is not circumstantial. Now, let's look at the second paragraph again. In fact, I don't think I read all of it yet. I think I only read like the first half of the second paragraph. So let's look at that. "That which is around you and about you seems different in its reference and expression and degree. Yet nothing is different when it all balances and comes forth through the same purpose or focus." And then Spirit says, "Stay there with it all. This is all you are to do now. Stay with that one focus through everything, and you have found the harmony." Well, look, I guess Spirit knew that a few years after he gave me this message, I'd be using the piano master as the example, because he threw in the word harmony. "Stay with that one focus through everything, and you have found the harmony, the point at which all things meld into one." So let's remember, when it seems like the going gets tough, when it seems like we're in a situation, that sucks and is in our way, that the situation is really there to help us become the master we want to be. Help us remember that we want to go beyond chopsticks, right? We want to be masters of forgiveness, masters of peace, masters of joy, masters of love. And so we need all sorts of opportunities to practice in, right? And let's embrace those opportunities and let's use them for what they're intended for, you know, per Holy Spirit's interpretation. Let's use these highly stressful, highly fearful situations to practice maintaining our focus. And that's how we become the master that we want to be. All right. So it looks like the next message. Sounds like a book title, Going Beyond Chopsticks, or Dove says that's how we get past chopsticks. It looks like the next message is actually called Stay Focused with the Focus Part 2. So let's see, maybe we can get both messages read. That would be great since they obviously go together. Yep, it's another short message. We shouldn't have a problem. So at the top of the screen, if you're already in with me, you just click on that message and go to the right, Stay Focused with the Focus Part 2. If you have joined us recently and you aren't in the message, I'm just giving you a link right now so you can just click on that link. All right, so here we go. Stay Focused with the Focus Part 2. Next day, or 2 days later, I don't know how much later, but I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And here's what Holy Spirit says. I've asked you to stay focused with the focus. The focus goes with you anywhere and into any situation so that it need never be lost. Let it be that gentle guiding light that is in the mind in all times. Let not the fear in your gut, that fear that you may lose the focus, distract you. Just turn the focus upon it with a gentle, warm smile and an inner burning confidence. The light is being shined in all directions now in order to shine away everything that is not of the light. Rejoice in the process. Stay focused with the focus in all things. Now, this is something I had forgotten about. But apparently, you know, after this heart chakra opened and after Holy Spirit started teaching me just to focus my attention there, apparently I had a very strong fear, because he calls it that fear in your gut, right? Apparently I had a very strong fear that I wouldn't be able to do it. And I don't even remember this. Whatever it was, it's been completely wiped out of my memory. But I do have friends that experience this, so through them, I'm kind of aware of this fear. I have friends who are just so afraid they can't do it. You know, these simple things that Holy Spirit asks us to do, like let go of thoughts, right? Choose to let go of meaning. You know, remember to be still. And I think that this fear really comes from still having that belief that I'm bad intact. So that we think we've done something really, really bad if we forget to practice, or if we don't practice as well as we think we should. And Spirit is saying, just turn your focus, your light, to that. You know, just do that. So when I see this fear that I can't practice the way Holy Spirit is asking me to practice, that's where I start with that fear. I just look at that with, what's he call it, a gentle, warm smile and an inner burning confidence. He says the light is being shined in all directions now, which means this fear that I have that I'm not going to be able to practice, it itself is going to die. And I guess I said here is evidence that it did, because like I said, I don't have a direct memory of even having it, but I did, or Spirit never would have given me this message. I used to have a fear, it looks like, of not being able to practice. So by feeling the fear in the gut and then smiling, and for me what that means is smiling at it means trusting Spirit anyway. And it's really trusting Spirit, not me. I think if I thought that I had to get rid of that fear, again, the little I would have stayed afraid. But instead, it's smiling at it, and it's knowing that at an unconscious level, we talked about this last night, at an unconscious level, Spirit is doing something, and I just need to rest and wait until the fear fades and dies. So instead of adding my panic to the fear, instead of struggling against the fear, I see the fear. I don't deny it. I see the fear. But I just smile at it, knowing that somewhere inside of me, you know, if I'm imagining this in my gut, somewhere inside of me, Spirit's in there shining a light on this fear. And as Spirit shines the light on this fear, it is shrinking. And one day it will be gone. And just staying with that inner burning confidence. trusting that process. And that must have worked. It must have worked. Because I don't have a fear. And in fact, I do forget to practice sometimes. I mentioned that already tonight. I mentioned that I was distracted away only a couple of weeks ago. I received guidance to try to spend 10 minutes every hour in silence. And I did pretty good for about a week. And then I went to San Diego, and I don't think I've hardly done it since. So 1 week of on, 2 weeks of off. But listen to me. I'm laughing. Do you hear that? I'm not judging myself for that. I'm not fearful that I've done something really bad and spirit's going to be mad at me. You see, I'm laughing and I'm saying, oh yeah, I want to start that again. That's what spirit is asking us to do. Just, oh yeah, I want to start that again. And an inner burning confidence, knowing that I'm healing. So that's it for that particular message. It looks like we have another short message. We're just going through them tonight. If you click on the very next message, it's called Be Watchful With Me. And you can click on that message. And again, if there's anybody that's entered the room and doesn't know where we're at, I'll give you a link to the next message. Be Watchful With Me. Oh, Wayne says, I counseled him on this fear directly once years ago, and that he learned from me, which would really mean from spirit, because I just passed on what I was given, right? What do you call that? Hand-me-downs? It was hand-me-down wisdom, Wayne. I gave him a hand-me-down, and it was helpful to him too, because these are hand-me-downs that last forever, right? Just keep passing them on. Keep passing them on. Okay. So here's the next message. Be watchful with me. And it looks like I wrote a little note first. It says, hello, friends. In the following message, the Holy Spirit gave me an image to hold on to as helpful. This is an image based on the Bible at Mark 14, 32 to 42. According to the Bible story, the apostles did not stay alert and watchful with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell asleep. In the following discussion, Holy Spirit asks us to be differently now by remaining awake and watchful to the thoughts in our mind. Okay, so here's the question. Again, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And the answer is simply, watch your mind. It is busy with subtle distractors. It is okay that these distractors are there. Notice Holy Spirit's not telling me I'm bad because I have these world-based thoughts in my mind, right? He says it is okay that these distractors are there. It is nothing to be concerned with. But you do not want to slip into sleeping by accepting these distractors as true. Remain alert to them. Stay watchful. Be the apostle who remains alert with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Be this one now. This is all that is asked of you today. Now notice Holy Spirit is not asking us to judge ourselves for having thoughts in our mind other than the thought of God, right? The last several messages have all been about staying with the focus, remembering purpose, staying with the single thought of God, staying with the stillness, keeping our mind centered. Well, if any of you guys have tried this, you know you might be able to do that for a little bit. But then the mind takes off and it's thinking about tomorrow or yesterday or it's making stuff up, right? Well, Spirit isn't asking us to judge ourselves for that. But he's asking us not to slip into believing what the mind is saying. And the funny thing is I've discovered that I am believing what the mind is saying when I'm not paying attention, which I don't know why I think that's funny, but I do. I guess a part of my mind says, in order to believe it, I must be paying attention to it. But actually, it's when I'm not paying attention. And maybe that's because my attention is actually divine, right? If I'm putting my attention on it, I really do know better. When I look at the thought that You know, my neighbor is a jerk. I see that thought in a way that I don't believe it. But when I'm not looking at the thought, my neighbor is a jerk, and it's just running through my mind, I start feeling the emotions and the grievance of what my neighbor did. So it's kind of through not paying attention that I'm giving attention to those thoughts, that I'm giving belief to those thoughts. It's a little weird, isn't it? But that's how it works. So what I need to do is I need to keep my attention, capital M, capital A, awake, looking at the thoughts, watching them as they go by, so that I don't believe them. So I see the thought fly by that says my neighbor is a jerk, and I have a practice of answering thoughts with thoughts, you know? You know, so if my mind says my neighbor is a jerk, you know, I might giggle. I mean, that's kind of a thought. I might giggle at that thought. Or I might say, if I feel a little more belief in the thought because of something that just happened, I might say, I don't want to believe that. If I have a hard time with the thought, if it's something that I have a lot of belief in, I might say, Holy Spirit, I give my willingness to see differently. Right? But when I'm doing those things, I'm not giving full and total unwatched belief to the thoughts. I'm practicing like Holy Spirit asks us to practice. So this is what he's asking us to do in this message. He's asking us to stay watchful, to remain alert. Because the truth is, our awareness is divine. And if we're watching with that divine awareness, we know not to give our full belief to a thought. We know to giggle. Or we know to remind ourselves that we don't want to believe that or accept that. Or we know to ask for help in seeing differently. But if we're not paying attention, if we're not staying watchful, if we're not remaining alert, these thoughts are going through our mind, we are believing them, and we're feeling the emotional reaction. We're getting pissed off. We're feeling stressed. We're getting fearful. And if we want to, we can use that to wake us up. As soon as I notice myself getting pissed off, I can react to that by deciding to become watchful, because I had forgotten or I wouldn't have become pissed off. So as soon as I notice I am, I can decide to become watchful in that moment and start letting thoughts go then. As soon as I notice I'm fearful, I can remember to become watchful. The emotional reaction of not being watchful can be like an alarm clock that reminds me, oops, I wasn't being watchful. Now I want to do that again, right? I want to start being watchful right now. Again, without judging myself, without fearing I've done something bad. But the fact that I'm feeling stressed means I wasn't paying attention to my thoughts. I was listening to some stressed thoughts, thoughts that told me I had to hurry. I didn't have enough time to get everything done. People weren't going to like me if I didn't get this done. I accidentally listened. That's why I'm feeling stress. But now I'm going to start watching again. Ah, there's the thought. I got to get all this stuff done. Instead, I'm going to trust that whatever gets done is what needs to be done. Ah, there's this thought that someone's not going to like me. That's just an unworthiness thought. I'm going to stay in the moment, trust my guidance, and keep moving forward, right? I start talking to my thoughts again. I start being watchful again. And what's going to happen as I do that is the stress that I was feeling from not paying attention, or the fear, or the anger, grievance, hatred, it's going to start to dissipate when I start becoming watchful again. So be watchful with me. And it looks like there's a be watchful with me part two. And if I remember correctly, there was actually a series of several messages. Yeah, then a be watchful with me part three, and then a part four. So I guess that's what we'll be doing next week. We'll be looking at these messages that are actually longer and more detailed as a part of this be watchful with me series. So I think that's it for tonight. I notice I'm getting a message from a person called Hardcore B10 saying only truth matters. And that's true. And, you know, when we are feeling fearful, feeling stressed, feeling grievance, it is because we're believing something else matters. We talked about that last night. Last night I read the first 10 lessons of the Course to you. It's always fun to go and read the first 10 lessons of the Course. because they remind us that we are the ones that are giving the meaning. And they remind us to let go of that meaning in order to return to peace. Okay, well, I'm going to turn off my recorder, save my file real fast, and then start recording again with Cheryl. So I need about 60 seconds, Cheryl. Don't say anything too incredibly wise for at least 60 seconds so I can get my recorder turned on, okay? All right, that's it for me tonight. I'll see you all on Wednesday morning. Bye. Yes.